World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I was anxious to get down here today. Just got to be honest with you. Anxious to get down here today. A lot of great stuff going on and a lot of stuff. I probably ought to go to the calendar. Hey, Spencer, get me up on the screen, would you please, so I don't mess it up. So I got somebody to look at. And just a lot of really good stuff I want to share with you here today. It is Friday Flea Flicker. And I'm going to be doing most of the flea flicking, to be honest with you. Hey, I want to thank the Zyphers. Alan and his wife, Tammy, they've been in my house here the last 3 or 4 days, and it's just been a delight for them to be here. And they taught us how to make the pretzels. Well, they taught Michelle. I don't know how to do it. They taught Michelle how to make their pretzels, and we made brats the other night with pretzels wrapped around them, and oh, my goodness. And it was just great to have some great, great fellowship. And they're on their way to Germantown, Ohio. For those of you who don't know, Alan and Tammy make their living. They sell pretzels. Heavenly Soft Pretzels is their business. And carnies. That's what we used to call people, carnies, right? And they travel from fair to fair. And they said they used to have a pizza business and all that. And I said, man, the brick and mortar business has just killed them. And they love living on the road. They've been in Ohio for most of the summer, gone from one carnival, one straight county fair to another. And they're finishing up this weekend in Germantown, Ohio, and they've been at our house the last 4 days. And Alan was with us when we went and blew the shofar. I got to tell you guys something. This is absolutely unbelievable. They did not cancel. Remember when we went to Sky High because we reclaimed Sky High. We didn't go to Sky High out of fear that the devil was taking it back and the demons from the concert were going to come in there. No, we went in the authority of Almighty God, and we did a prayer walk around that entire area. We have 30, let me get my math working. We have 50 acres. And we walked the perimeter of the 50 acres, and we spread salt, we spread water, and we prayed, and Alan blew the shofar. And yesterday, when I went up to the top of Sky High, it rained, by the way, it rained the whole time. When I went up to the top of Sky High yesterday, you're not going to believe this. I went up to the top of Sky High yesterday. First of all, it rained so much. Well, let me continue. I went up to the top of Sky High, up where the house is, and we've rented the house for the month. And I go up there, and there's a man standing there in a uniform. And he stopped me right away. He said, sir, what are you doing here? And I parked the car, got out. Well, sir, I'm the owner. I said, okay. He said, okay. And so I started a conversation with him. He said, listen, everything's changed. All around here, the adjoining wet property is too wet. They cannot park cars here. They cannot put campers here. So all those people that were over there, all down that hill last year, they're not going to be in there. We can't get them in there. It's too muddy. And all those back in there, that big field back there where they had campers and all that back there last year, 2 years ago, because we didn't have it last year. He said, we can't get them back in there. There aren't going to be any people back there either. And he said, the problem is we've sold 44,000 tickets. And right now we're so overwhelmed, we only have room for about 14,000 people. So we're looking for alternative areas to be able to park. But he said, I want you to know, I'm up here at the top on your property. I'm a guard. I am guarding your property to make sure that no one trespasses onto this property. Because once they get up to the top of the hill, they have easy access down to the concert. So I am here to make sure that no one trespasses on this property. Is that unbelievable, folks? Is that unbelievable? And if we'd have kept praying. Hey, Tracy, if we'd have kept praying, they'd have canceled the whole daggone thing. They were on the verge of canceling the whole daggone thing. Now, you can say coincidence. I can't tell you how much it built my faith. I go up to my property, and they have hired a guard at my property. Oh, my goodness. Built my faith. So Alan Zyfer and everybody that was part of that, it's see, friends, we have the authority. We already have it. The devil doesn't have the authority. And I was talking before we really got going in the pre-show here. We are so controlled and motivated by fear. Fear. Just, we're afraid of everything. We are least like our Savior when we're fearful. And we're afraid all the time. We're afraid to go to school board meetings. We're afraid to speak up in church. We're afraid. And the Lord said he's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I said before the show started in the queue here before it started, someday we're going to be in heaven and we're going to look down. We're going to be up in heaven and we're going to look down. And we're going to say, you mean tell me I was afraid of that? And we forget that God himself created everything, and he told us when he looked at all of his creation, don't be afraid of that. 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 Don't be fear not. And all we do is wallow in fear. It's just absolutely, it's no wonder we're in the mess that we're in, right? We wallow in fear. We're afraid of, God, we're fearful people, aren't we? As we learned yesterday, what are they going to do, kill you? Well, the Bible says that he rescued us from fear. We've been tormented our whole life, and he rescued us from it. We shouldn't be afraid anymore. And if I die, what? I fly away? Now it says, I fly away, oh, glory. And we don't believe it. We don't believe it. Oh, my goodness. I got a lot of really, really good stuff to share with you today. And maybe one of those Fridays where it's a flea flicker Friday, but I dominate. I just got some stuff I got to show you. First thing, I just want to try to do it in order here, Spencer. How about this? They were forced yesterday to release a January 6th video. Pull that up there, Spencer. It's only 1 minute, no sound to it. So I'm sorry if you're listening and can't watch this. They released a court order, whatever. They released a January 6th video of guys inside. And folks, I want you to watch this video, 1 minute. Nobody blocking the doors. Nobody trying to stop anybody. And it's certainly not a violent insurrection. Go ahead and play that, Spencer, 1 minute. Throw it up on the main screen. You say, Coach, it is on the main screen. I know. Look at these guys. Nobody blocking anybody. Doors are open. People are walking around. Armed insurrection, folks. Did you know this? Did you know the Department of Justice has hid this video? They've hid this video. There's your armed insurrection. Who knows how many of them are still in jail today? Boy, they look dangerous, don't they, carrying those flags?
I'm scared.
Look at this. Armed insurrection. There it is, boys. Oh, there's a Trump sign. That's what they're armed with. They're armed with Trump signs. There's no police officers. There's nobody there trying to restrict any of them coming. They're climbing in a window that has been broken. They're coming in a door. They're walking around. Most of these people probably never been inside their Capitol ever. What a bunch of scumbags they are, right? Unbelievable. I had a conversation with a real live school board member. Called me. Doesn't matter where he's from or who he is. Doesn't matter anything at all. He called me. And he was discussing, he's a good man, good Christian man. I don't have any doubt he's a good Christian man. And he called me because evidently somebody told him that, you know, we were talking about school board members on our show. So he wanted to call and just have a conversation with me about. So I said to him, I know the guy. I said, man, I know you to be an honorable, God-fearing man. And I doubt in my mind you're an honorable, God-fearing man. So what the hell's going on? Because you guys... You school board members, you're looking like fools. The people hate you because you won't do what they want you to do. I said, would you please tell me the truth? What's the real reason why you won't do what they tell you to do, what they want you to do? You represent the people. What's going on? He spilled the beans. And it's the same thing we've been saying. He says, Coach, here's what's going on. We get from above us, we hear from the state health department, we hear from the governor, we hear from the local health department, we hear from the county health department, and every one of them make recommendations. They say, we suggest you wear a mask, we recommend you wear a mask, but we're going to leave it up to the individual school districts. And so then they leave it up to the individual school districts, and the individual school districts get in private session behind closed doors, and there's the attorney saying, oh, listen, this is optional, but boy, if something goes bad, they're going to come back on us. They're going to come back on us. If we want to protect ourselves and protect us from lawsuits, here's what we got to do. We have to follow their guidelines. Because if we don't follow their guidelines, as soon as something, let's say this, the county health department recommends we wear masks. And then we don't wear masks and some kid gets sick. The county school board, I'm sorry, the county health department will throw us under the bus. They'll say we told them they should wear masks and they didn't listen to us. And so he admitted to me what we all know, that they have no authority. They have no authority when everything goes bad. So they get behind closed doors, and then the insurance guy's in there. He says, you can't go against the health department mandate. They said, well, it's not a mandate. It's a recommendation. Oh, yeah, well, do you want to buck the health department? Are you health experts? And so the five school board members come out of that meeting, and they sit down in their chair, and they are already locked in place because they know if something goes wrong in the school district in regards to virus or mask, they are the ones who are going to bear the weight of having not masked the children. Do you see the picture, folks? Do you see the picture? So their hands are tied. I said, your hands aren't really tied. Stand up and tell people what's really going on. Stand up and tell them. Say, it's not us. It's the health department. It's not us. It's the governor's office. The governor doesn't mandate it, but he suggests it. And then it comes down to us. And we have to make the decision. And all the accountability and all the responsibility falls on us. I knew that's what was going on. I knew it. They don't want masks. So maybe we need to turn our attention away. Maybe we need to get away from the schools and go to the county commissioners. Maybe we need to go to the local Department of Health. Maybe we need to turn our spotlight on somebody else. I thought that was eye-opening. I knew that's what was going on.
Amen.
I knew it. Yes. Listen. Oh, Lord, I'm stuck here, man. I'm not stuck. Yes.
Coach, you're 100% right. They need to stand up publicly and squeal on really.
That's what they did. I told him, stand up and say, it's not me. It's the health department. It's the health department. That's what they need to do. Pass the buck right back. Craig, go ahead. Listen, quickly, guys. I got up really early. I've been working on this. This is really good. Go ahead, Craig.
Coach, let's be able to give them the ammunition, okay? Let's give them a CD. Here's Dr. Malone, the inventor of the mRNA process, owns a patent. He says, don't take the vax. Let's give them the ammunition to fight the fight.
I agree with that, Craig, but still, they're cowardly. A lot of them are just cowardly. They don't want it falling in their lap, right?
Okay, but there might be someone who gets a little bit of backbone if we give them the ammunition to fight. If they don't have the ammunition with the evidence that we have, they don't. We're hoping.
Good point. Good point, Craig. Larry, then Dale.
Yeah, you know, we can't let them just get by with doing what they've been doing. And you know, the situation with my house is not like it was 3 years ago and the thousands of dollars is just in a couple of $100s right now, but they're doing the process again. I have finally chased down the address of the FBI office here in Myrtle Beach. It's been wrong on the internet website for 2 years. Anyway, I have prepared that appeal that I have submitted to the South Carolina Appeals Court, which they refused to even look at because of stare decisis. I've got that appeal evidence, and I've got a charge sheet printed up charging a criminal conspiracy against four judges, one sheriff, and a bunch of lawyers and a few individuals involved in the HOA. But I've already made a call. I'm going and delivering that paperwork, evidence to the FBI, along with a list of all of the illegal actions that were taken over the course of that process where they tried to steal my house. And I'm going to tell them, not only did they do this, they've done this to 50 other people in my neighborhood, and they are starting to do it to me again. And I'm going to give them the certified letter I got yesterday. But that's the way we got to do. We got to fight them by getting right back in their face and charging them with criminal action. And okay. It may not go anywhere, but we've got to let them know we are not afraid of them.
Bear with me a second, Larry, or Dale. Dale's coming up next. Hey, pull up the, it says the Gulag Archipelago. Pull that up for me. I got this, somebody emailed me this today. This was the Gulag, I can never spit this out. Archipelago was written by, thank you. Listen to this. This is by, scroll down a second for me, Spence. Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote this in 1956. All right. Listen to this. Go back to the top, Spence. And how we burned in the camps later, thinking, what would things have been like if every security operative, when he went out at night to make an arrest, had been uncertain whether he would return alive? And he had to say goodbye to his family every time he left. Or if during periods of mass arrests, as for example in Leningrad, when they arrested a quarter of the entire city, what if people had not simply sat there in their lairs, paling with terror at every bang of the door downstairs and at every step on the staircase, but understood that they had nothing left to lose and had boldly set up in the hall downstairs hall an ambush of a half dozen or dozen people with axes and hammers and pokers, whatever else was at their hand. The organs would have quickly have suffered a shortage of officers and transport, and notwithstanding all of Stalin's thirst, the cursed machine would have been ground to a halt if we didn't love freedom enough. And even more, we had no awareness of the real situation. We purely and simply deserved everything that happened to us afterwards. It's pretty profound, isn't it? It's what Larry's talking about. See, we think we're just naturally going to win because Donald Trump's going to come riding back in on his Trump horse. Come on in, Dale. I got someplace I'm going. Stay with me. Got someplace I'm going.
Oh, brother, listen, what you talked about weeks ago, you're over the target. You got to make it individual. Going back to those school board members and saying, oh, so what you really are, you're afraid of that your attorney would not defend you if you don't take the stand. Well, we're going to put your name on that civil lawsuit, and then you're going to have to go hire an attorney. Now, if you don't like that, if you're afraid of that, then you need to resign and get the heck out of the way. When they resign, then the people get to place in somebody with a little bit of go ads and go after this. But brother, you're absolutely spot on. They're afraid of the lawsuit. Therefore, threaten them and let them know that your name now will be placed on a lawsuit. That's how you defeat the bullies is stand up.
We have to expose them, man. We have to expose them. We have to expose the ones with the power. See, so now you've terrorized. I hate to use that term, but we've gone to our school boards and we've been terrorizing them, just telling them the truth. And still nothing's happening. And everybody's still mad at the school board. And it ain't the school board. It's the health department above them. Do you get this? I knew all along it wasn't their decision. I knew it all along.
But Coach, that's forcing us to not stay at the local level. We need to remain at the local level. Everything's going to come down from above. We need to fight at the local level and put some nads on these school board members and others.
And go to the health department. Go to the county health department and call them out. Call out the county health department. Put the target on them.
David stood up to Goliath, brother, no matter how big Goliath is. If they refused to stand out of the way, my daughter-in-law stood up against the biggest hospital here in southeast Louisiana, Ochsner Hospital. Guess what? She refused to budge, refused to step down. Guess what? They relinquished and gave her religious exemption yesterday.
Because listen, friends, I'm going to tell you. Sorry, Dale. Listen, friends, you better understand this. When you're in athletic competition or you're in a war, it will always look like defeat before you win. You will always be in a position where it looks like you're losing or going to lose, and then you stay with the task, and you come out victorious more times than not. We have people, again, same thing, being controlled by fear. What if I lose my job? Hey, dude, what if you're freaking dead in a year?
What do you mean, what if I lose my job? It's fear-based. And from people who have no authority to be able to do it. Two more, and then I'm moving on. Go ahead, Debbie, and then go ahead, Bernie. Go, Debbie.
This is exactly why they did the mandate, because their door-to-door campaign failed. Why did it fail? Because they were met with resistance at almost every door. So I was listening to exactly on that, and the guy said, because the people who were doing it, they knew what was coming when somebody opened the door.
That's and right.
So exactly what this guy's saying. So they quit, and now it's no longer in the news because they were defeated.
Yeah, because Debbie, you know, if I stay home and I really defend myself against some of these people, they may not receive Jesus. Then, you know, we're just passing through. Oh, it just makes me want to gag. Bernie, come on in.
Yeah, this is their end around. Look, the county health people are not elected officials. They are below the elected officials. It's the elected officials that need to stand up, and we need to tell them, you know, and, you know, I'll get on to stuff maybe in the after show about what's going on with my son in the military. But some people are standing up, and they're holding the line, but they're making it real hard. And, boy, the That's propaganda right. and stuff they're showing.
They need our support. They need our support. You now need to go to your school board and quit begging the school board and giving them facts, because I'm telling you, they know the facts. They know the facts. It's, I told you, I don't want to sound like a know-it-all. This is coming from above them. It's coming from above them. Insurance companies, health departments, whatever. It's coming from above them, folks.
But and it, the elected officials are the higher authority. Okay?
That's right.
They need to take that back.
That's right. And they won't rescue the people below them. It's demonic. Come on in, Joe Allen.
The Nuremberg Code. They're going to be held accountable for it. They need to know that this is going to play out, and they're going to be the ones they're going to be hung.
ChristianRevolution.net. ChristianRevolution.net. Come in, Joe.
Again, the government can't do anything.
None of it.
They're going to make the local people enforce their laws if you want to go in and buy something in their store.
Capitulate through fear. Capitulate through fear. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to do. I wonder if Alan Zeifer is awake, because I'm stealing. I'm looking down there to see if he's in here, because I'm stealing something that he presented to us about, I don't know, a couple years ago, maybe even longer ago than that. And I remember it, but I didn't, you know, at that time, my head wasn't really right there. And I, over the last 3 days, you know, we were talking about the Masons the other day. I got some, are you ready? Are you guys sitting down? Go ahead, text somebody right now. Say, tune into coach. Go and text them while Gene talks to us. You text somebody, say, tune into coach, because I'm going to give you a lesson. It's going to curl your toes. Go ahead, Gene.
Yes, I was just wanting to bring in, you all are trying to fight a battle that they don't have any authority over us, because God created us and we created government. We can stand as a man. What I did, I sent a notice and demand to all my elected officials, holding them to their oath of office. And I gave them so many days to respond, and nobody's responded back to me.
Yeah.
So now I've got to carry through, because people, we as a man, we are under God, and we can go after their stuff. We don't need a court. We don't need a lawyer. You can go after their stuff and threaten them. I mean, it sounds like
guerrilla warfare, Gene, which is what we got to do. By the way, I sent you the link today. Anybody needs the cards link? I emailed it today. I got it out. Steve, I sent it to you.
Thank you.
I know Jeff wants in, Larry wants in, but I'm in, so I'm going to go right now. Pull up the rotunda. Folks, we've been talking about Freemasonry. We've been talking about the men behind the curtain. We've been talking about the kings of this earth conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. This is the apotheosis of Washington, okay? This is what hangs. First of all, I thought, number one, I thought that there was separation between the church and the state in the American government. Alan Zeifer, if you're out there listening, brother, I'm stealing some of this from Alan. This is what's above the rotunda, painted on the rotunda. and Washington, D.C. Now, we need to stop right here and ask ourselves, in a Christian nation, why is it, where's Jesus? Anybody know where he is on that apotheosis? Anybody know where he is? So I thought, I'm a wordsmith, you know. I said, what's an apotheosis? What's an apotheosis? Does anybody know what an apotheosis is? Big word, nobody knows what it is.
Deification.
Click on that, Spencer. Apotheosis. No, it's on third from the bottom. Definition of apotheosis. Third from the bottom. An apotheosis. Why, that's the term to make a god. I'm just going to let that sink in. An apotheosis, they call it, the American apotheosis, the term deriving from the Greek means to make a god. And it implies a polytheistic conception of gods, while recognizes that some individuals cross the dividing line between gods and men. So what we have here, go back to the picture, Spencer, is an elevation of gods over Washington, D.C. And we wonder why Washington, D.C. is set up in such a Masonic mess triangle, Masonic stuff everywhere. Right now, today, in the Capitol Rotunda, we have false gods. We have false gods up there. Anybody walks in there, if you've ever been in the Capitol Rotunda, and you're like, oh, it's beautiful. Oh, look, there's George Washington. Oh, look, there's an angel blown up. Oh, isn't this wonderful? Except we don't know what they are. We don't know what they are. So Spencer, keep scrolling down. The apotheosis tells us what it is. And it says there, keep going down here, right? A little bit farther down. Okay, you can read all this later. Right there. Okay, stop right there. There's six groups of figures that line the perimeter of the canopy. In other words, they're telling, they're going to tell us what is painted up there. First one signifies war with an armed freedom and the eagle defeating tyranny and kingly power. Stay with me. Second one is science, with Minerva teaching Benjamin Franklin, Robert Fulton, and Samuel F. B. Morse. Well, that's interesting. Who's Minerva? And what's she doing teaching Ben Franklin? Why, Minerva is in Roman religion, is a goddess of handicrafts, the professions, the arts. And later, hang on a minute. Didn't Almighty God said he'd have no other gods before him? And this mess is hanging in the rotunda. Goddess of handicrafts, the professions, the arts, and later war. She was commonly identified with the Greek Athena. Some scholars believe that her cult was that of Athena, introduced at Rome from Etruria. This reinforced by the fact that she was one of the Capitoline triad in association with Jupiter and Juno. Her shrine on the avenue in Rome was a meeting place for guilds of craftsmen, including at one time dramatic poets and actors. So we got what? Who do we have here? We got this chick, Minerva, teaching Ben Franklin, Robert Fulton, and Samuel Morse, right? And we're a Christian nation, right? Oh, the Masons, they're not in control. No, that's all mythology. So then we have a picture of a Marine. We'll go back and look at all these if you want to. We have a picture of, it represents Marine with Neptune holding his trident and Venus holding the transatlantic cable, which was being laid at the time that this was painted. Well, kind of curious. Who's Minerva? Neptune? Oh, who's Neptune? Wow, Neptune in Latin, Neptunus, Roman religion, originally the god of fresh water. By 39 BCE, he was identified with the Greek Poseidon, and thus became a deity
god of the sea. His female counterpart, Cilicia, was perhaps originally a goddess of the leaping spring. Hey, folks, what the hell is this dude doing on the top of the Capitol in this Christian nation? They did say we were a Christian nation, didn't they? Well, who is this? Neptune? Help me out here. Who was Minerva? We already did Minerva, didn't we? Hang on a minute. Hang on. Huh? Venus. Because they mentioned Venus. Who's Venus? Hey, she's on top of the rotunda. Not Jesus Christ. Not the disciples. Venus, ancient Italian god associated with cultivated fields and gardens. And later identified by the Romans with the Greek goddess of love, Aphrodite.
Hey, Coach, In that picture with Neptune, you got his two sons there. They're mermen. They're half man, half fish. And those horses that's pulling Neptune's chariot are half horse, half fish. They're seahorses, Coach.
Hey, so do me a real – thanks, Alan. I'm glad you jumped in, and I'm sorry I stole your thunder here. Hey, Spencer, go back up at the top, and let's click on this picture and see. Can we enlarge it, folks? Because we're talking about these pictures here. And they're explaining to us what each one of these pictures are. That's what they're explaining to us. There's George Washington sitting in there. Who's teaching George Washington? Minerva? Is she the one teaching him? Not Jesus? Not one of the disciples? No?
Hey, Coach, you know, Minerva could be a transvestite. And Minerva is the god or goddess, however you want to do it. That's over California. That's their seal, Coach.
Wow. So, Alan, what the hell, pardon my French, is this doing in the top of the Capitol Rotunda? Hey, Spencer, let's go on. Let's go to the next one, Spencer. Folks, this is all Masonic stuff, all this stuff. And we're one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We've been deceived, baby. We have been deceived. Scroll down there at the bottom where you were. I know you're working hard there, but stop. There you go. Okay, so then let's see. By the way, Neptune was holding his trident and Venus holding her transatlantic cable. They were all right there. And then we have commerce. Why? Let's bring in old Mr. Mercury. And he's handing a bag of money to Robert Morse, who was the financier of the American Revolution. So we already looked up who Mercury was, didn't we? Well, just in case we didn't. Mercury is Latin Mercurius in Roman religion, god of shopkeepers and merchants, travelers. He's up there twice. And transporters of goods and thieves and tricksters. He's commonly identified with the god Hermes, the fleet-footed messenger of the little g gods. Hey, Jack, no religion, right? Hey, no religion in Washington, D.C. We're religion-free. There's a separation between the church and state. How freaking stupid are we? Go to the next one. Go back, Spencer. I'm about done. No, I'm not.
Amen.
Because then we get to the mechanics. We've got Vulcan. What? Who in the is Vulcan? How come Vulcan's up there and St. Paul isn't? Where's Jesus? But we got Vulcan. Who's Vulcan?
Don't you mean Hephaestus?
Click on him. Who's Vulcan? Why, Vulcan in Roman religion was the god of fire, particularly in its destructive aspects as volcanoes or conflagrations. Poetically, he's given all the attributes of the Greek Hephaestus. I don't even know who it is. His worship was very ancient, and at Rome, he had his own priest, his chief festival, the Vulcanalia, was held on August 23rd and was marked by a rite of unknown significance. The heads of the Roman families threw their small fish into the fire. Vulcan was invoked to avert fires as his epithet Quietus and Mulcherbe. I need to get my Greek mythology. I cheated in high school, didn't even read it. Because he was a deity, destructive fire. His temples were properly located outside the city. In Rome myth, Vulcan was the father of Caecalius, founder of the Palestrina, Italy. His story is told by Servinus, the 4th century AD commentator on Virgil. Vulcan was also father of the monster Cacus, who was killed by Hercules for stealing his cow. Not Paul, not John, not Matthew. No, no, Vulcan. It's eye-opening, isn't it? Alan, I'm sorry I didn't catch this last time.
Amen.
And then in agriculture, the last series, there's Ceres seated on the McCormick Reaper, accompanied by America in a red Liberty clap, and Flora picking flowers. Oh, I wonder who is Ceres. Anybody know him? Who was he? One of the was he one of the guys maybe in Thessalonica? Did he write some little unknown book in the Bible? No, let's see. Ceres in Roman religion was a goddess of growth of food plants, worshipped earlier, either alone or in association with the earth goddess Tellus. And at an earlier date, her cult was overlaid by that of the Demeter, who was widely worshipped in Sicily and Magna Graecia. On the advice of the Sibylline books, a cult of Ceres, Liber, and Libra was introduced into Rome. And according to the tradition in 496 BC, to check a famine, the temple built on the Adventure Hill in 493 became a center of plebeian religious and political activists, who also became known for their splendor of its works of art. And it was destroyed by fire in 31 BC. It was restored by Augustus. The three chief festivals of Ceres cult all follow Greek lines. Folks, put the picture back up there. That's what's at the top of the rotunda in Washington, D.C. And they call it the apotheosis. Why do they call it the apotheosis? Because apotheosis means God maker, creator of God. I got more, but this is enough to chew on for about a month, isn't it? And we wonder why we are where we are spiritually in this country. Come on in, Mark. Let's start with you.
I just want to say, if you, first of all, you had Greek mythology, so did everyone. What was it about Greek mythology that superseded, say, teaching the Bible? If you didn't pass Greek mythology, you didn't graduate. What's up with that? The other thing is the rotunda. If you're looking at it from outside, what is it? It's a big swollen arch. It's a big round creation. You know what? Every capital in the country has a round arch. Now, you called apotheosis a god maker. Do you know what that round dome is? You know what it signifies, Coach?
Vagina.
The belly of pregnant Semiramis, impregnated with Nimrod's illegitimate son Baal, which is Tammuz. Okay, so the bellies, the domes all around the Capitol buildings are representative of the belly of Semiramis, Nimrod's wife, which begat gods. So now our presidents are becoming gods of out of the belly of Semiramis.
So, Mark, this doesn't sound like these are very Christian men who are designing this stuff, does it?
Well, what's funny is she's the queen of heaven.
Oh.
She's known as the queen of heaven, which ties into the Virgin Mary.
Where did that come from? Oh. Well,
Catholicism took that from Semiramis. She used to be called the queen of heaven. This is her belly. You're showing the inside of, Coach. These are the gods inside Semiramis's belly.
I'll tell you, Mark. Now you got Reggie fired up. Go ahead, Reggie.
No, he's right. He is correct. But what I was going to say, when I hope everybody does their research, because you brought it up, Coach, because that's what we do. We do our research. So if you connect all of the artists who were responsible for the art in the domes, so you've got the Brumidi was the capital of the United States, Washington, D.C. Michelangelo did the art in St. Peter's Basilica Dome. And then you have Sir James Thornhill in London, the city of London. Those three are owned by the Jesuits. They were erected by the Jesuits. So you might have some what looks like Christian art under the domes of St. Paul's Cathedral and the Vatican, but they know how to hide their art a little bit better. But they still represent the same gods. So you'll see that.
Okay, hang on. Stay with me. I know y'all want to get in here. Y'all want to get in here because you ain't never been part of a show like this. Neither have I. I haven't either. Spencer, pull up for me the Ranker thing. Ranker. We're going someplace. Stay with me. One nation under God, right? How about this? Eight secret symbols hidden in plain sight in Washington, D.C. Scroll down. Number one, Washington Monument is a satanic obelisk. You can read it yourself. Go to the next one. The rotunda of the Capitol building shows George Washington becoming a god. Go to the next one. The Pentagon is a satanic symbol of infinity. Go to the next one. The goddess Isis sits atop the Capitol building. I almost said something I shouldn't. There's a Masonic temple near the White House. Ever been there, Steve Dick? I don't know if you've been there or not. Scroll on down. Several important buildings resemble Greek designs. The streets form a Templar cross. The streets form a pentagon with the White House at its apex. Wow, 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 wow. One nation under God, right? One nation under God. God bless America. Which God? Which God? Who got in here first? Go ahead, Clay. Don't tell me your life story. Just tell me a story.
Yeah, the rotunda picture there, when I've studied it, this is what I come away with. Each of those groups on the that are separated up there represent a technology.
Yes.
And the little g Greek gods, they got one Greek god for each of those technologies. And then there's humans grouped around those. And it's showing that we're becoming like the gods.
There we go, Clay. That ain't out of St. John chapter 2, is it? Come on in, Kevin. Kevin, wake up.
No, sorry. I had to grab my phone. Yeah, so all the Greek gods that you were just mentioning, you know, a lot of us charge that they were actually real at one point in time. And they're mentioned in the Bible. I believe that they're called the heroes of old and the men of renown. All right? And can you tell me who that is?
Well, I know. Here's all I know. I know that Almighty God said he ain't going to have any of these other guys before me.
Yeah.
And he ain't in the rotunda, but they are.
But the heroes of old and the men of renown are the children of the Watchers.
Yes.
The children of fallen angels. That's yep. That's Nephilim.
Hey, let's go. Let's start a petition to paint over the top of this thing. They hate religion so much. Let's paint over this thing. Go ahead, Larry, and then Jerry. Larry, Jerry, and Jack. Go. Yeah.
Okay, I want to go back to what Gene said about holding them individually responsible and stuff. And if you do those letters and things, if you do them in a format of an affidavit, if they do not respond, an affidavit becomes a legal form that is accepted as material fact in any court of law down the road.
So okay, Larry, so listen, we need to do a class on this, Larry. We need to do a class on it. Let's not just throw it in. Love you. Let's just not throw it in there. Jerry and then Jack.
If you look at the rotunda and how their hands are pointed and the angles of their hands being pointed, it forms a symbol. I did a study on it. I'd have to literally draw it out so you've seen it. There's a lot more to this picture than meets the eye because like they like to do, they use the art of lesser magic. In other words, they use symbols to hide it in front of you.
Come on in, Jack.
Yep, it's right in front of us to use their term. I put it in a text, Coach, the definition of hoodwinked. They have hoodwinked us, their terms. And we go right along with it and just we praise them and give them all kinds of stuff. Good grief.
Hoodwink is to cover, to hide, for the prize, to deceive by external appearances. Hoodwinked. We've been hoodwinked. Come on in, Wes, then Alan. I got more. Hang on. Go ahead.
This type of art isn't just in Washington, D.C. Every state capital is borrowing Roman and Greek mythology, the columns, all of it. It comes from Rome.
But there's a separation between the church and the state, right? There's no religion. There isn't. There's Greek mythology religion. Evidently, that's okay. Or, as we just found out, the religion of the Watchers. That's okay. Come on in, Alan.
Coach, this would make Roger Weaver really famous if we can get him to jump on this thing, Coach.
File a lawsuit. Get all that pulled down.
Yeah, we need to. I love it. That's one thing. When I first saw that, my jaw hit the floor. I could have stood there for 10 hours if everybody would have left and let it sink in real good. But that Mercury, he sits at 12 noon or midnight, however you want to look. He's upside down. He's a god of chaos. He's a god of trickery. He's a god of the medicine, the pharmakia. He's a god of the economy, and look what we're all tied in with. Obamacare was alive and well that long ago, and you didn't get to throw the picture up there of Zeus. Zeus is in the Senate chamber with George Washington. He was painted with George Washington. He's been there for 256 years.
You mean not the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul in there with him? It's not George Washington, the Apostle Paul? Wow.
You know, the thing about the guy that painted, his name was Burundi. He was a Jesuit priest that they excommunicated. He was an excommunicated Jesuit priest.
Wow. Come on in, Melvin, Jeff.
So we get Greek mythology in our government buildings, and we get human secularism in our schools.
Pretty good combination, huh, Mel? Come on in, Jeff.
Hey, Coach. You know, the thing is that we know these artists, and we know who did these things, but who's the decision maker? Who's the designer? Who's the interior decorator, the exterior decorator? Who's that?
Yeah.
That's it.
Do you have an answer for me? Is this a quiz? Am I on Jeopardy?
Yeah, I don't have an answer, so I'm just putting it out there.
I know who it is. See, not only that, Jeff, was it done in Washington, D.C., but as someone said, they do it in all 50 states. You walk into the Ohio Rotunda, it's going to look something like this. I promise you it's going to. Jack, right, come in and cap.
But who's the decision maker?
We know who it is. I'll get to that in a second. Go ahead, Jack.
I'm going to tell you the decision maker. The decision maker is on the entrance to every town. There's that little blue sign. It says the Masonic Lodge, where it is. In
oh,
this town,
Jack, you're leading me right down the painted path now. Go ahead, Kathy.
Wait, one more thing. For the folks that don't have the background, most of these people in here have the deeper knowledge. But if you want the overall picture, go to a 30-year-old book by Ralph Epperson, The Unseen Hand. He pulls this stuff all together, and you'll go back and forth saying, how did they do that? Oh, back in chapter one, that's how those suckers did that.
Kings of this earth are conspiring against the Lord and against his anointed. It's right in our face. Kathy, come on in.
Yeah, do you guys remember, and this is the first time I'd ever heard a politician say this, when Obama was talking about being hoodwinked, he used that word. And I never heard a politician say that. Just wanted to add that.
Yeah, he marked his words very well, didn't he? Okay, I got something, a video. I hate to show videos, but videos work. So, what's my friend's name? Spencer. Spencer, go down there and click on, which one is it there, brother? Hang on. The Freemason vid. Freemason vid. Friends, now listen, this is going to start out at double speed. They double speed it, okay? This is a ceremony that was done in 2017, I think it was, honoring Queen Elizabeth, okay? Now, we're not going to watch all of this, but I just want you to watch and look at the symbology that goes on as this great gathering of Masons in England. Go ahead, play that. It'll be. I'm sorry for those of you who are just listening. Sorry, I can't really help you out there. Go to CoachDaveLive.com and watch the video later. Go ahead, Spence.
To all our brethren to receive the most merciful, the Grand Master.
God save the Queen! Presidents who were Masons. There you go.
I hold that to be self-evident, Brother Franklin. All men are created equal.
Indeed, Brother Washington. All Freemasons meet as equals, and we have an opportunity to create a nation
in the very essence of Masonic morality. It would be wonderfully symbolic, don't you think?
You'll be wanting to put the all-seeing eye on our banknotes next.
You think I'm taking it a bit far?
Please don't ask me questions like that, Brother Franklin. You know I cannot tell a lie.
Oh, come on, Brother Washington. Everybody lies occasionally, surely. Especially politicians.
Not me. Not even so much as an alternative fact.
We must all be aware of fake news.
The people must be free to think what they like as well. We can have no thought police in our new society. The foundation stone of our new nation built on all those principles that we hold dear.
The plans for our new capital city already have a very Masonic feel to them, yeah.
Candidate for initiation into the order, I'm giving him a little introduction into some of our mysteries. These two gentlemen are founding an entire nation built on our principles.
We have great promises for our new nation. You know, I wonder if other presidents after me will also be Freemasons.
Many will be. And Freemasonry will become embedded in the American culture. And the eye will appear on the banknotes.
Oh, God.
These principles will be honored with a gift from your French brethren. A gift that will be a welcoming beacon to the poor and oppressed.
This is the statue we are giving you.
It's a bit small, isn't it?
Oh, this is a maquette. The real thing is bigger. Much, much bigger. I call her Liberty Enlightening the World.
Catchy.
America will produce a great many great Americans from many different walks of life and many different fields, and many will be Masons. Sportsmen, actors, writers, soldiers, filmmakers, businessmen, inventors, astronauts.
What on earth is an astronaut?
No, they're not.
I don't follow.
Well, they're not on Earth. They're in space. In fact, Brother Buzz Aldrin was the second man to walk upon the surface of the moon.
That's the best thing I've heard this evening.
What, that a Mason walked on the moon?
Man on the moon. Amazing. But don't forget the musicians. Do not forget the musicians.
That rule of three again.
The 3 degrees!
Okay, you can cut it off there, Spence. I'll make this available in the chat. They're poking fun at us. They're making fun of us. Jim, come on in, and then Jerry.
That's exactly why we need to abandon the Constitution and go back to what Ted Whelan, who you had on the program a couple months ago, was recommending.
Amen. Entire renovation here, folks. We have been hoodwinked. Jerry, come on in. And Alan.
When that gentleman or whatever he was standing on the stage and Ben Franklin said, what's an astronaut? And he said, it's a no, they're not. He actually used proper parse syntax English, which is what we have to do in order to beat the court system. Like you said, we need a class on that, Coach.
Wow. And then he mentioned Buzz Aldrin because he was a brother who walked on the moon. Isn't that something unbelievable? Alan?
Coach, what's so crazy about this thing? These people that's in Congress and stuff, if you went back and looked at their records, I'm sure there's probably some of the most brilliant people in our nation. And the thing about it is, if you want to go back when Obama was in there, Obama really didn't get anything done. Even when he had the Senate and the House, he didn't get squat done. And then, you know, same way with Trump. He had the Senate, had the House, and what'd you have? John McCain. You had all these guys jump up and block him on everything he done. Why? Because those gods that's high and lifted up are running those guys and girls that's in our Congress, Coach.
They may not even know it, Alan. They may not even know. We know this.
They don't.
The church doesn't know it. The church doesn't know it, do we, folks? We're one nation under God, and we're clearly not one nation under God. Hey, Spence, if you can, I'm sorry, pull up this picture again of the Washington Monument. You remember which link that was, bud? Folks, because I want to, you know, look at that. Hey, folks, an obelisk is a penis. An obelisk is a penis.
Amen, Coach.
And folks,
that's right.
Scroll on down, Spencer. And there, by the way, is the womb. Mark spoke about that earlier. So the Washington's Monument is the penis, and the Capitol building, the Capitol Rotunda, is the womb. Having sex right out there in front of us, folks.
Amen.
Now, look, you can turn this show off, never come back. I didn't make up any of this stuff. Not one bit of this did I make up. I gathered information from, my goodness, the Britannica Dictionary or Encyclopedia Britannica. I didn't make it up. Come on in, Drifter 78.
Yeah, Coach, there's a couple things. I said this years ago, when we got the Constitution, we lost, became humanistic versus king, no king but King Jesus. Two other things I want to point out. If you look at that picture of the rotunda, someone brought it up, and I never seen this before. Look at the six different, there's six different groups there. Draw a line between them. It's the same thing that's on the back of your dollar bill above the Phoenix, where it's got our stars outlined. Mm-hmm. It's the same outline, and you figure out what it is. And Tom, also one other thing, Tom Horn wrote a book back in 2012 called, I think it was called Apollyon Arising.
Yes.
That book, he said that the United States was founded to usher in the Antichrist.
Well, brother, well, we're looking close to it. Debbie Perkins, come on in, then Jack.
Well, to tailgate on that Tom Horn thing, they did. He and the two Hall brothers did a great study on exactly this, and it's in a video in their DVD called "The Belly of the Beast," and it explains in detail as they walk Washington D.C. exactly what you're talking about.
Amen. Right before us, eyes wide shut. Jack, come on in.
Part of the problem is we are also indoctrinated because, as you know, we're one nation under God, and neither of those words are correct. We are 50 sovereign nations confederated for our own defense, and we use these stupid colloquialisms, and we keep perpetuating the myth that we're one nation under God. We were 50 sovereign states with our own religious exemptions and statutes ensconced in our original constitutions per state. The old Adam.
We were hoodwinked?
Yeah, again.
Hey, Spencer, real quickly, if you can, pull up the ChristianRevolution.net. I want to finish with this today. We got a lot going on. We're hiring attorneys. We're hiring, when I say we, it's Dr. Sherry's really riding herd on it. Ohio Brett and I, we're all part of it. But we're already putting this money to use hiring attorneys. We've given $20,000 to Tom Rentz, the attorney Tom Rentz who's fighting. We've hired another attorney. But here's what I want you to know, friends. As we sit before you here today, with just very little promotion, we are on the verge of having raised $500,000. $500,000. Friends, listen. Please share this vision with your friends. It's a time is now to do this. It's not about me or Sherry or Brett. We have raised $500,000. That's $100 donations, friends. That ain't $10,000 donations. That's a lot of people giving $100 and giving $50. We believe this is a vision of God. We'd ask you to jump in there. Brett, real quickly, say something, Brett.
Hey, just wanted to piggyback what you just said. It's a vision from God, and we will stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus.
We're not going to stand up for a Leviathan, which I didn't get to today in Job 41. Thank you, Stephanie, for sending it to me. I got to tell you something, friends. You don't have any idea how much my faith was built when I saw that the concert venue hired an officer to guard our property. Is that unbelievable? It's unbelievable. Oh, Lord, if we could get a great vision of who he is and how much he's in control and how much power and authority has been given unto us, if we could only grasp that. Man, oh, man. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.